लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to Let's Talk About Verticals, today with a kind of special episode. As I told you, I have six great ladies on my side and we want to make a monthly recap for this time for the month of September. We are talking about vertical actors, vertical stories, what did us impress and what annoyed us a little bit. So feel free to hear open, honest reviews for the month of September. And I said hello to my six ladies. First of all, Aline from I Love Verticals, Caitlin from Verticate, Dahlia from Vertical Films Lover, Lisa, the Vertical Drama Queen, and Team Cayman, Megan from Real Real Drama, and Shika from Vertical Viewers Weekly. Hello, ladies. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
So September is over. How did you spend September? I want to know, first of all, that everyone knows about what number we are talking here. How many verticals roundabout did you watch in September? And what was, I would say, the top three platforms where you were looking at?
I don't mind going first. Go first. Okay, so I had a pretty quiet September. I only watched 25 verticals. Five of those I didn't finish, and that was either because I fell asleep or they were just terrible.
That's good. What's your normal average of watching verticals per month, roundabout?
It's usually at least one a day, so 30 plus.
Okay.
Yeah. So mostly I've been watching Drama Box, Candy Jar, and Good Short, but I've also been like deep into drama shorts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Dahlia, how many verticals?
I watched 61.
61?
Yes. I watched 61, and I actually have, I kind of stuck to Flare Flow.
Yes.
Because I happen to have a monthly subscription, so I watched 24 just on them, because I was trying to binge through some. So I kind of stuck to them a little bit more. And just trying to get through their subscription a little bit. And I also saw some on Playlit because I also had a subscription for them. They were my major ones. Otherwise, I always go to Candy Jar, Drama Box, and Good Short.
Yeah. Okay. So, Caitlin, yours?
I was very bad at keeping number tabs on it, but with taking a break for Verticon and some trips, I estimate I did around 35 to 40.
Well, that's a lot, even with a break.
I know. I normally average 2 to 3 a day. So during Verticon week, I did not watch a single one, which was unusual for me, except for on the plane ride back, I managed to binge 3 at one time. So,
yeah, okay. But you were on the Verticon. You don't have to watch the actors in a vertical. You can see them live. So
exactly.
I would also prefer that and make a break. So.
Exactly. This month, I found myself returning to Real Short after taking a break because I thought for the month of August, their releases were crap. So they finally started coming out with some things I thought were worth watching. Surprisingly, I also found myself on some apps I hadn't been on in quite a while. NetShort, Fairflow, but also drama TV is one I really was surprised. And Shorts, I haven't been on Shorts in a while, and found myself there for some interesting ones.
Okay, Aline, where were you along?
Yeah, I usually watch around 30 a month, but last month I finished completely 22. And I didn't finish around 10 that I started, and I stopped either because of a new, like unnecessary violence, bullying, and that kind of crap that we see way too much, or just because it was boring. Just like I was not into it. So I was like, after a few episodes, if I'm not in, I'm not wasting time. I have too much to watch anyway. So
yes, yes.
Not wasting time. And actually, last one is probably the month where I watch from so many different platforms. I was checking the names. I think Drama Box is the one who come the most. But otherwise, it was many, many different platforms. So
newer platforms or the older classic ones?
No, like normal ones, like Dreamy Short, like Candy Draw, VGlue, NetShort, not so many, not new platform, I think. I'm checking now, but just the normal ones. It's just that I watch from many, many different places, depending on what I wanted to see. I watch a lot of same kind of storyline, but I needed a lot of cute ones, so I try to stick to those. So, yeah, but probably Drama Box would be the main app for this month.
Okay. Shika, how many verticals did you watch?
Usually I try to complete like two a day, because while working also, if I know that the storyline is quite similar, so I'll just keep it on at the side and I'll keep watching. And one while sleeping, which I'm very interested in. So, but this month I was moving, we are in a rented house, everything. So I just got to watch, I think, 28.
Okay. And not which bad, platforms?
I think Dreamy Shot was the main platform, because Ryan and Emily... much on that. And then Reel Shot gave us good content this month, apart from that fluctuation that they do with two, three good ones and a major amount of violent ones. So yeah. I did watch Reel Shot a lot, and I think Drama Pops was good then. And for a few, I watched NetShort and Flare Flow a lot.
Megan, how many?
Well, I'm the sad one this month. I didn't watch for 2 weeks, just getting ready for LA, and then being in LA, I was super just distracted. I only watched like 19, which is really weird for me. I mean, it's still a good number, but only like 19. And
from the beginning till the end, totally.
Yeah, beginning straight to end. Yeah, yeah. Usually once I press play, I pretty much know that's what I want to watch. You know, I can usually kind of suss out what it's going to be like based on the title and the poster. But yeah, the same with everyone else. Kind of random apps this month, like Drama Wave and Playlet and the short apps. What is the name of that one, you guys? Shorts?
Shorts. We know
the
what you mean. The one with the heart on the icon.
Yeah, yes, yes. I never know what to call it. But anyway, they're constantly showing me. And Reel Short, too. The same with everyone else. Like, Reel Short went through that spurt of, like, gratuitous violence, and we were all done. And then all of a sudden, they've got a lot of great content again. So our voice is being heard. No, it's just cyclical.
I think so. I watched around about 36. Normally I have a bit more, but in September the podcast started, and I talked to a lot of actors and actresses and directors, and so I was a little bit less in time to watch verticals, because I spoke to them more, and because of my university job, we had a semester change, and so it was not so much. But I had also from Flare Flow a monthly membership. It was the first time I did it for Flare Flow, And I watched like you, Dahlia, straight through the stuff which I was interested on this platform. And the second platform I watched a lot was Candy Jar again. I got a yearly membership of Candy Jar, and I haven't been there for 3 months or something like that, so I have to keep it up again. And real short, I'm still struggling if I should do their membership, because I saw a lot of new shows pop there, but I'm not sure if I want to see them, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit struggling at the moment. Should I not? Because the last time I did a Real Short membership, I was really disappointed because the money was not worth it to watch. So I'm a bit struggling at the moment if I should do that again or not. What was your personal highlight this month? You thought, oh, that I was really surprised about this one. It had not has to be your vertical of the month, but what surprised you? Which vertical?
Yeah, I think Love and Blood. It gave that theatrical vibes and vertical. That is what made it special for me. The elevated content, the cinematography, the outfits, everything.
And a totally new story.
Hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which one was that again?
Love and Blood on Real Short.
Oh, yeah. Eric. Yes, Love and Blood. Yeah.
To be honest, I haven't seen it till today.
I haven't watched it yet.
I don't know.
I'm waiting for the hype to die down a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw the trailer and thought, okay, this looks nice. But to be honest, I was surprised if you watch how many watched it already. I was expecting more views till today, because it was so hyped at the beginning, and I was expecting more views. It's round about, I think, 4 million at the moment or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hidden on the front page, so maybe that's the reason. They didn't, the actor promoted it, but not Real Short. The actors have to do everything by themselves. Real Short, like when you go on the front page, I had to scroll down quite a lot to find it.
Okay.
So if you don't know that it's on this app and it's out, there's no way you will see it. So that's one of the reasons I'm really struggling with Real Short also, because when it's not produced by them, they buy some vertical, but they put them like super low on the front page, and they have some really good ones, but that no one will see because you have no idea that it's on the app. And I find it super bad because they promote those not very good ones. They put like on top and trying to promote, put a lot of ads for kind of shitty ones. I'm sorry, but that's the reason. That's true. And
yep,
the good ones are just lost somewhere. So that's the reason why Real Short kind of annoyed me a lot.
And also in LA, we were talking about how when I was hanging with you know, all the people in LA.
When I was hanging with the stars. Say it, Megan. When I was hanging with the stars. Make us jealous.
Another big issue, like Alina talked about, is them burying independent films, which is frustrating. Yeah. But also, they don't target, like, there is a huge call for, like, thrillers and stuff like Love and Blood. And Real Short and the apps in general, the platforms in general, are still targeting the wrong audience for thrillers. They're not promoting. I mean, there is a huge horror thriller audience in the world. It's one of the top sought after media content, whatever genres. And they're still promoting it to, you know, people like me, like in my mid-40s, who want the rom-com. Of course, I liked Love and Blood, but, you know, so anyway, that's another big issue too. So it's don't look at the numbers and be dissuaded and not watch it because of the numbers, because they're doing some messy things with the numbers, you know?
No. Yeah, and I number doesn't mean that it's going to be good.
I don't believe their stats at all. I feel like they're highly inflated for some works, and I honestly can't believe there's 300 million people viewing some of the vertical in the 300 million club. Yes. So I try not to look at the numbers at all.
I think they try to put like high number on their own stuff just to make, because usually if you see that it has 40 million views, you're like, it has to be good. So I'm going to click on it. And you ended up disappointed, but you add another view and it's just like, you know, people will add, but it's actually not so good. But yeah, the good one, since it's buried. And I had the exact same talk with Steph Tablizzo. I met with her like on Monday. And we talked about stats and about numbers, and we saw the same. Like, all the independent ones that are, especially on Real Short, always have low numbers, but their original ones are top numbers. To me, it kind of, it's cheated at some point. And also the promotion. Of course, if you promote, like, some of the stuff, I've seen so many ads. I even clicked, like, not interested, but I was still seeing those. So I'm like... They put so many money on, and it was a shitty one, the ads that I was seeing everywhere. And I was like, this is also how they get views, because at some point people will click. Maybe not watch the entire stuff, but when you see the ads absolutely everywhere, at some point people will click, but it doesn't mean that it's good. Like, high number does not equal quality or anything.
So Aline, what surprised you? Which vertical?
I have two in mind. Well, Love and Blood first, for the reason mentioned already. It was different, and I mean, I love all the vampire stuff. I grew up with Twilight, with all the stuff, so of course I love it. And the second was The Summer I Turned Bad on Drama Pops with Felix and Kayla.
Yeah.
Drama Pops usually always do like great. A visual, like when you see all the visual that they have, it's always beautiful. The way they do stuff, it's the editing is always super good. The music is great. And this one was also really one of those I really, really loved. And I will watch it again, I think.
Drama Pops is mostly produced in Turkey, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and honestly... usually I'm never disappointed by Drama Pops. Even if, like, they have a lot of original story, they have a few that are recycled plot, but with new stuff in it. So I'm never disappointed by Drama Pops. And it's always great quality, but they don't release so much, so they take time for one. And you see that it pay off at the end because it's really good.
Dahlia, what was your surprising vertical this month?
Mine's a very surprising one, and there is violence involved. So if it's a trigger, I would not recommend watching it. But because of the performance that Rosa Singerman brought forth on Good Short, it's called Blood and Bones of the Disowned Daughter. And she is an orphan, and the other daughter, there's like a feud going on. And I mean, she's mistreated and then she's saved, but it's just the performance that she brings forth is heart-wrenching. And Ben Urbinas is in it, and normally he does a lot of the boy love stuff, but he really comes forth in as the hero. He is a true green flag here, and it brought tears to my eyes. It's still going to bring tears to my eyes, but it was a moving vertical. And I just love Rosa Singerman. I think she is very, very underrated. She is beautiful. She is emotional. And she's just one of the best leading ladies I've ever seen.
Okay. So Lisa, when you also haven't watched Love and Blood, like I, what was your surprising vertical?
I've gone down the Ukrainian vertical road this month. And I absolutely adored One Night Stand with My Boyfriend's Brother. Like, Daniel Salem in that was just amazing. But the storyline itself was so good that it's nothing I've seen before. And they don't have all the silly sound effects, and the visuals are beautiful. And the fact that it's filmed in the middle of a war, it amazes me even more. So there was that one. And Wicked Game was brilliant. So that
Which
one
platform was it also My Drama?
So Wicked Game was on My Drama, and One Night Stand was on Drama Shorts.
Okay.
But that one on Drama Shorts, she's got cancer, so it goes through her cancer treatment as well, and then falling in love. And it's just such a good story.
Okay. Megan, your surprising one?
Well, let's see. I think, so my surprising one, the one that like surprised me, was Surrender to My Ex's Dad on App Shorts.
Yeah, I saw that also.
Yes.
That was with Adam Huss and Kylie Carson, which, I mean, it's a very typical plot, but Kylie and Adam were exceptional. I mean, just exceptional. And the way they spun that very basic plot line was so amazing. And of course it's from Arrow production company and App Shorts, and they won 4 Verdies, you guys. I mean, like, they're doing great stuff. But we had a really strong female lead whom I really loved, who was still faulty, like she wasn't perfect, which is also my favorite. And Adam, I mean, they just brought it, and it was actually real, like, chemistry, real spice, like they actually had like real sexual tension built in. And I thought it was absolutely fantastic. It was funny. It was so good. So good. So yeah, that would be mine, for like my, like, whoa, that was a lot different than I thought it was going to be going into it.
Okay. Caitlin, what was yours?
I actually had a couple. I of course, really was surprised and hot. How good Love and Blood was, but there's a couple other lesser known ones that really surprised me. One of them was Dr. Norman Please Love Me from Net Short. That's another one where the girl is dying and the guy is in research medicine and tries to save her. That one was interesting, especially because I'm in a medical type field. So that one had a very unique perspective for me. I don't know that other people would view it the same way, but that one kind of brought out some of the mental challenges that some medical professionals can have in the medical field, but also especially if they get romantically tangled with patients. And so that was kind of interesting. But I think the one I was most pleasantly surprised about is called Cinderella's Royal Secret on was it Kleos TV? I never know how to say that.
Kalos.
And let me tell you, I the only reason I watched it is I had an actor message me and say, hey, can you watch it and review it? And I honestly can't wait to finish. I started working on the review right away because it is absolutely amazing. It is a My Fair Lady meets Miss Congeniality sort of story. Oh, it is absolutely sweet and wonderful. I'm so glad he told me to watch it because it was one of the sweetest verticals I have watched in a long time. It was a really good cleanser from a lot of the violent verticals and tropes and stuff. And it was just, it had humor, it had romance, it was just all around sweet. And I was so pleasantly surprised by it. So I if I had to only pick one, I think I would go with that one as the most surprising.
Yeah, I was, yeah, but it was not because of the story. I really liked You Are My Destiny on Real Short with Samantha Drews, and I think the male one was Zach Rist. And there was a lot of violation. Okay, but what me totally blew away with this vertical was the acting of Samantha Drews as the blind woman. She played it so great because for me, it's hard to imagine if you have to play a blind one. You have in your normal life, you have so many things you are doing intentionally as a seeing person. And she played it so well to be blind. I was totally blown away from that. And that was the first one of the verticals ever who catched me and brought me tears to my eyes, not because of the violation in it, but because of the thing, how helpless she seems, but also strong as this blind woman. And I really liked this one because of her acting, and I didn't expect it to be so good. But I would say 80% was Samantha who made it so good, because she played it so believable, the role. And the another one I saw, John Henry Richardson told me to watch this. It was the latest one with Sam Myerson in it. I think it's a Billionaire Triplets. I don't know exactly the title is. And I loved it. The Three Old Men's. I laughed so many times about the three old men standing beside her bed and waiting for her up. And I love this dynamic in this story. Okay, it's kind of an old story with getting hooked up and pregnant, but I loved really the acting of the three old men beside, and that was really entertaining for me to watch. So yeah, I would go You Are My Destiny was more the dramatic one, and the entertaining one was more the one with John Henry Richardson and Sam Myerson and so stuff in it. So it depends on my day if I want to get really entertained or if I'm ready for some drama. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. Which vertical, now quite the opposite, disappointed you?
How much time have we got?
Oh, Lisa, you had a hard month, I see.
Okay, my absolute stinker of the month was How to Handle that one was a crap one too. Hooking Up with Dad's Best Friend on Drama Wave. I lasted 1.5 episodes.
1.5 episodes, it's after 2 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah. The poster itself looked like jailbait. The lead actor was so over the top. I've never seen him in anything before. And he arrives on a helicopter to save her. I'm just like, this is a load of shit. And I turned it off. So, yeah, that one was not great. And I know people, we've just talked about it, but Beach Volleyball Virgin.
Yeah.
High hopes for it. And the storyline was really lacking. The vibrator scene really gave me the ick, massive ick, and the sound quality was terrible. So Luca Pietro's performance was excellent, and so was Karen Smolinski, and I love her, but they couldn't save it, unfortunately.
But it was sold, I saw, to different platforms. It's not only on Real Short, it also on Dramabox. Is it on Dramabox?
Yes.
So I don't understand how, as we knew, a lot of people thought that wasn't the best one, and that it could sell to so many different platforms and great stories.
There was one more, I'm sorry, and this is my biggest beef. If I've got a subscription, I don't want to have to pay for interactive coins.
Oh, so yes.
Big to Drama Box for Knocked Up by the Silver Alpha Fox. The fact that the options were just so left field. It's like, do you go down on him or do you make him a cup of coffee? I'm like, I'm not paying.
I saw the comments on that. And they're like, 69 coins, right?
69 coins.
69.
What a number.
It was so, and I like, as much as I wanted to see what happened, I'm like, I can't deal with this anymore. So that was another DNF.
Yeah, okay, so when we are at the interactives right now, let's slide a bit in. Do you like interactive ones or not?
No,
absolutely not.
Do you know, the only one that I've ever watched that really worked was Pool Boy, and that was so well done, and I watched both options, and that one to me was worth the coins.
Yeah.
But once again, if I've got a subscription, why do I have to pay for coins?
But it's the same one like on Dreamy Short with the early access one stuff. That's also ridiculous. Sorry for that.
Yes,
because if you have already a membership and you have to pay the early access one, and it's getting expensive, more and more expensive every episode. So if I would watch straight through, even if I have a membership, it's around about 50, 60 euros per show. And that's so stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the problem with the interactive one is that the sometimes it doesn't make any sense. Like you choose one of the option and the next scene, like the transition is like completely different. Like I don't remember the name of the show, but the choice I took, like they were dancing, having fun, and then just right after they were mad at each other because the other scene that was the paying one, they were fighting, and I was like, yeah, but I watched the other stuff, so now it doesn't make any sense. And since it doesn't change anything to the story, why do you even make a interactive one? I would understand, well, it's complicated for them to do like two complete different shows and stuff. I get it. But in this case, just don't make it because, again, when you choose one option and then it makes no sense with the rest of the story or whatever you choose, sometimes you have two options. One is like argue and the other is like make up, whatever. At the end of the day, they will do what you didn't choose. Like you choose argue, they will make up at the end anyway to kind of fit the next scene. And you're like, then why do I have to choose if you already decide what's gonna happen anyway? So I'm like, if that's what you're doing, it makes no sense. Just don't do it at all. So I avoid like most of the interactive one. I still have to watch Pool Boy because I think it's a good
I
one.
saw
And
it. I saw it a week ago because I had an interview with Declan and he said, "Oh, can you please watch it and tell me what you think about it?" And I really like that. But for example, Reshop put a lot of interactive ones lately. And Caitlin, you told me, yeah, we had it about an hour spoken, the one with Jack Jackson Tiller. It was
Yes.
so shitty for the acting of Jackson Tiller to do this as an interactive one.
Yes.
Like I said, I thought it was an injustice to him because he had wanted to have something on Real Short for so long, and then it ended up being this stupid interactive. The only thing I will say about interactives, at least in my opinion, is I hate them. Don't get me wrong, I absolutely hate them, but I can also see how interactives might be a plus. In my opinion, their only plus is when they are with spicier verticals, and the fact that some people can choose the spice level that they want. If they only want one pepper spice level, they can have that. Whereas I'm kind of a three pepper spice level sort of girl, so I'm going to just go through. So you can kind of make those spicier verticals what you. To what degree you want them. I think that's for me the only place I would want to see interactives. Other than that, I totally agree. They're a scam, they're a ripoff, and they generally ruin the flow of a whole story. And I really wish that the whole story would just play out as a real story.
So, Caitlin, what was in a vertical who disappointed you this month?
I had there was one on Real Short that just got released. I think it's Alpha Unchained Mate, I think the title was. And I get excited with werewolf ones. I like the alpha werewolf ones. I'm also a mafia girl type thing, but that one had so much gratuitous violence. It didn't work. It didn't work, and I didn't think there was any chemistry there between the two leads. Everything just fell off, and it felt incredibly dark. And I really struggled with it. So that I think that would have to be my pick, and that's on a real. It's a real short one.
Okay.
So, yeah,
Aline, you were
I will second this one because that's also mine. Like it's Alpha Mate Unchained, and
Thank you.
The same. I'm like I love werewolves, so I was like, and I love Madeleine, the lead girl. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna watch. She was the one who almost saved the series, but even if she was amazing in it, it didn't save the stuff. And I stopped at some point because I was like, okay, like I really tried for her to watch, like to kind of force myself because I was like, maybe it's gonna get better, but the more I went on, the worse it gets. So I was like, okay, I give up at some point. It was the storyline was not the best, was pretty boring, and there's so many stuff that makes no sense in it. And I was like, okay, do we get any answer at some point? And it was no answer, more question, plus the violence. Like, sometimes I don't mind like having a lot of questions at first if it unfolds at some point. But the problem with this one is it doesn't unfold, it gives more questions, and there's violence for no reason. Really, it's just, okay, we will beat her up. Why? Like, in this case, it makes no sense. It's just really, nothing is good with this one. It's a typical example of what Real Short can do. Like, they do some amazing stuff, and they do some shit like this. And it's so unfair for the actors because, again, Madeline, she can do so much more than that. She was amazing in so many others. And when I saw her in this one, I was like, okay, Well Wolf with her in it is going to be good. So disappointing.
Mm. Yeah. Megan, what was your disappointment this month?
Well, I didn't watch as much as you guys. So I will have to, like, my disappointment was Lust Game. Sorry, Lisa. It was Lust Game. It really fell flat. I don't know if anyone agrees, but like I kind of like all the reality show ones. I think they're kind of fun, and I've seen them all, and the plot just really fell flat. And Poppy's character was Poppy, who was Kylie Pearson, whom I love. Her character was just all over the place. And why would she be on a game show if she doesn't want to like make out, a game show called Lust Game? And then she's on a game show where she's like, I'm a virgin. Like, don't touch me. Like, I don't want to kiss. Like, it made no sense. So it was definitely Lust Game. And I could see how it could have been a lot better. I think a lot of times when I get critical about a vertical, it's mostly because I see the potential in the vertical, but then it like falls flat. And I'm like, dang it, if they just would have twisted this or done this. But yeah, so it was Lust Game.
I do tend to agree with you. I still loved it, but I'm annoyed that it finished so abruptly that they didn't give it its finish. The ending, yeah. I was disappointed. Like, I kind of liked that you could make up your mind whether or not she should go with either of the characters. In my opinion, she should ditch both. But
100%. Sorry, Kaylin. Yes, gone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Chica, no,
I agree.
Chica, what was
like
your
reason why? Yeah, just for Lust Game, this is the reason why I added something on my reviews, like because of the freaking no ending stuff. Like, I don't mind some cliffhanger because sometimes it's well done and it's not such an issue because like the main arc is over and then you can kind of lead to something that could happen after, but the first part is like finished and you're like, it's fine. That we have a lot, like Werewolf ones, we have so many that have no real endings, but the first arc is finished. In this one, you finish in the middle of something and then we'll see it. Like, it's cheating for us. It's like cheap clickbait just for us to watch, and maybe we will do a season two. But honestly, part two, what's it gonna be? Like, you had two or three episodes and it's finished. You don't need like 30 more episodes for this one, especially considering everything is almost over. I was so frustrated with this one. Like, honestly, when I see that it started another one, I was like, no, something is missing. It's not possible. And I talked with Cayman about that because, like, he was surprised with my grade on it. And I understand that. It was like, but why? And I explained, it was like, okay, it's a valid point. But also, I understand some people might not be triggered by that. But considering we know that most of the time we have no part twos on verticals, this is why, like, it's so frustrating. If we knew that we had a lot of part twos, why not? We will wait for the next stuff. But at least tell us that it's part one, and maybe, it's a big maybe, we will have something after. Otherwise, just don't do it, but we need some clear like statement that it's not finished. Please be honest, because I will not waste my time.
Yeah, Dahlia, please.
I actually spoke to a couple of producers about that, Aline. I spoke to a couple of producers about that at the vertical market, and I mentioned, why don't you have like an ending, like even if it's two sentences saying what happened with the characters? And the Candy Jar producer specifically was very open to the idea of an epilogue. Like, even if it's an extra scene, you know, a couple of statements, there's a couple of movies, like big name movies, that always have like that epilogue at the end, like what happened to them. And she was saying that's a really great idea, and that they've tossed around the idea of doing that. So maybe it'll be a thing. Someone told me that there was going to be a follow-up, like YouTube thing to to finish out
okay.
a movie. So it's that type of thing is going to probably be a little bit more prevalent. And the more we say that, the more open they'll be to that idea. So yeah. I'll be saying it a lot too.
That could work for the last game, but when you've got one like Playing Pretend, where it just finished mid-story, I would need more than one episode to wrap that up. Mm-hmm. That one needs like at least another 30, 40 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, that was the thing. Candy Jar often did part one, part two, sometimes even part three, but that's the only app. Okay, Alta now with Falling for a Superstar second part, but normally I've never seen any second part one on a real short, never seen a second part one on Drama Box or stuff like that. I only saw more than one part on Candy Jar till now.
Or they do a second when there wasn't a cliffhanger on the first one. Like Falling for a Superstar. Superstar, we didn't need a second, right?
I mean, yeah.
And the same with the Prince in My Closet, Closet in My Prince, which I loved the second one. Sneaking Me in My Closet. We didn't need a second.
Otherwise, a second one is from everyone recommended for the one with Jackson Tiller and Keira Wisley. What was the name of it? From Contract Drive to Billionaire.
From contract lover to billionaire wife.
Yeah, exactly. Because there was the ending so screaming for a second part. So absolutely. And I think the audience...
When I did the Q&A on Instagram for sequels that you need the most, one was Fated Deal with the Mafia King and one was Contract Lovers to Billionaire's Wife.
Yeah,
they just left it so open that you cannot even interpret what is going to happen next. You just need that sequel.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because in From Contract Lover to Billionaire, you see him at home with the baby and she's somewhere in Paris.
Yes.
So will they ever meet again? Will she come back? Will there be a happily ever after? There are so many open questions for this one. But yeah. This unfinished one, shitty. I cannot. No, you know, the thing is, this unfinished one, when it's a shitty cliffhanger, so that you watched 60 episodes and in the end you think, what was that?
Yeah.
That's the end now? Now it's finished? Is there no episode left? Hey, what was that?
The Mafia Daddy one with Tim Stein and Brittany.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that one needs one. That's
That was a bad.
Yeah.
Tim said it's not in the works.
A not great film and a bad cliffhanger.
So with Jessica Jacoby and Armand Procacci on Onireal, like it's not even a cliffhanger. It's like she's in the middle of almost finding out that he's a secret billionaire, whatever. So she's in the hallway walking toward his office, and that's the end. So at the end of the day, she didn't enter the office. They didn't talk. They didn't do anything. It's just, basically, you're like, it's not even a cliffhanger. I don't call that a cliffhanger. I call
that's
that
abrupt ending.
He just stopped, and that's
The budget. They ran out of budget to film the end.
No, it was intentional. Like, I spoke with Jessica about this, because when I saw this, I thought that maybe, like, I didn't click right or whatever. So I went to her and I was like, please tell me this is not the end and that I missed something and I have to click somewhere else or whatever. And she was like, no, we were the same, like, but it's how it's finished. And I'm like, but it's not finished. Like, it's basically she was walking and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's not possible. Like, again, cliffhanger is one thing, but this is not even a cliffhanger. It's just basically you cut something and it was like to maybe try to go for a part two, but it's not a part two. It's just finish your damn vertical, or at least the main arc. Again, yeah. Part two, if you want to add new stuff in it, no problem. But finish the first part.
Yeah, yeah. So, Alina, what was your disappointing vertical?
Other than the alpha mate, it was not disappointment, but one that I thought would be different. It was the Forbidden Love with my young with the young CEO, with Ashley Bilote and Tristan. I don't remember his last name. It's on, I think it's Netshort, maybe. I don't remember the app, but it, from the poster and the synopsis, it looked like an age gap, super cute stuff, kind of similar to My Secret Boyfriend is My Bestie's Son. Yeah. My Secret Lover is My Bestie's Son. It really looked like the same, so I was like, I love this one, so I'm gonna watch. And it turned out so abusive, like really super abusive towards pregnant women, like nothing good. And the acting was great, like Ashley is always great, and in this one she's really, really good. But it's just that from the poster and from the when you read the synopsis and you know that Ashley did the other one with Luca Pietro, super cute stuff, I was like, maybe it's like clickbait, kind of the same story, so I'm gonna go watch this one. And it was completely the opposite, and I was like more shocked. And it was not disappointment because of the acting or anything, it's just that sometimes I feel like they choose some actors because they were good in some other stuff as a clickbait, and the story turns out completely different. And I'm like, if you want to go on like, okay, they were good on the first one, just do a similar one, it's fine, like why not, you watch, you don't watch. But that kind of completely twist but using still the name to make you click feels like a bit not so good.
No. Huh. Dahlia, which one did you like?
Can I just say, why are they casting Ashley Bilote as Hayley Lorelai's mother? Like, there's no way she is old enough. And there's so many older
Didn't
actresses.
You see they'd give her two gray hair
oh,
stripes?
They're too old. No, you need to hear like me.
No, that was so ridiculous. These two big gray hair stripes, and that should make her older ones. So come on.
I'm curious because there's
it's
so
not
many
any
great
worse than Jesse Morales' silver curl.
Yeah, but exactly, Lisa, you're totally right.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry mine...
Yeah, no problem. No, that's it. So, Dahlia, what was your
mine
disappointing?
Mine garnered a do not watch, did not watch.
Yeah.
Because what Aline and Megan can tell you is that I even have the description of this type of vertical in a trope description that I write. And I love Freddie Piazza. So he was playing the lead, and Eli Jane was the second lead as a mother-in-law. So my description is mistaken identity of a mistress, but it's really the groom's mother or sister, and the bride or bridesmaids beat the shit out of her for most of the show. Sometimes it's more awful and the sister is pregnant and they force a miscarry. That's especially heinous. Followed up by the guy showing up looking for sister or mother, being appalled at the treatment and beating the shit out of everyone who had a hand in the initial beatdown. I have that written because that is my most hated trope.
I hate that
right there is my most hated trope, and that's what that one is. So I saw the description, I saw that it was Freddie Piazza, and I immediately
which
put it
platform
on my
was
list,
it
gave it a one, which is basically a zero.
Which platform was it?
It is Dramabox.
Okay.
Which I was very
you know
surprised
what?
That it was Dramabox. It's called Never
you,
Provoke
you know...
the Billionaire Mother.
Okay.
You know what else and what another one was? And actually, I had forgotten about it until you just mentioned that. Another one I will amend to add to my list that is that exact same trope is Luke Stafford's new one that was supposed to be a werewolf one.
Yes, and
I'm
I also
sorry,
have it
was...
highlighted, and I also did not watch it. And
it was so...
Mistaken as his mate, the Luna's Regret.
Oh my God, I love Luke to pieces, and his verticals up until recently have been my comfort verticals, but his last two have been absolutely horrible for violence, and just it's been so surprisingly awful. I'm so disappointed, especially this one. Like I said, they're playing it off even the promos were all like made it look like a werewolf one, and with the Doberman dogs and everything, and it looked cool. But then I got to watch it, and all it was this identity slash banquet humiliation. I mean, Dahlia's description hits nails it perfectly, and I was just
And because it
so
was Real
disappointed.
Short, I
My
didn't
heart
pick it
just
because it's
broke.
typical Real Short. One, the other one I picked because it was Drama Box, because I couldn't believe
Yeah.
that, okay, there was two basically released at around the same time. And I just,
Yeah.
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have that
Yeah, my heart
description
just
actually
broke.
written on a toxic trope in a Word document.
My vertical, which I turned off this month, was Don't Miss Me When I'm Gone on Real Short. Was it? I think it was on Real Short. Yeah, Real Short. Yeah. The one with the two, it was so full of violence, and she got so many times beaten up. I cannot watch
Oh
this.
yes.
The
Oh, I
story
didn't know
was
that was that
so,
one.
I don't
That was a
know.
hard one.
It was so much violence in it, and for me, it's sometimes hard to believe how the actors can act like this without getting kind of bad feeling themselves. I don't know. That was really what I thought. Okay, nice story. A girl lost her parents, moved to the auntie. Okay, that it could be a little bit difficult with the two brothers there. Okay, fine. But so much violence, even in the if it's the own family, I couldn't believe that. I had to turn that off because that was so, nope, absolutely no go. I cannot watch this. I cannot watch this. So I turned this one off. So
But don't you think too, because they had promoted it as like a follow-up vert for Kayla Brady and Chris Cortuccio, like they're back together again after the cute quarterback one, and then
yeah.
he has barely a role in it, and she's just getting beaten down every 2 minutes.
He actually comes to save her. I did watch it. He comes to save her.
Yeah, but his role is so diminished. Like it could have been
It
so
is.
much better.
Yeah, absolutely. No, so the total vertical, I don't know. For me, it crossed another line in extremely violence and abusing a woman. Totally. I cannot watch it. So, from the bad stuff to a little bit the more nicer stuff, which actor and which actress impressed you this month with the performance?
Sam Myerson for both the roles. One was Falling in Love with a Mistaken Vow, and
It was with
Free Willing
Mariah
as well.
Moss. Was it the one with
Yes,
Mariah Moss? Yeah.
yes. He brought so much humor to that character and cheeky humor. It was not in your face, but it was there. And
Oh my
his chemistry
God.
with Abigail and Mariah,
My
too
God.
good.
That's the famous oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my
And which actress do you like most?
I think Mariah Moss was a surprise for me because she did so much humor in Falling in Love with a Mistaken Vow, the bickering between them, the comedy of errors. It was so good. Otherwise, she's usually the hidden billionaire who is trying to, she has that poise and she talks with such elan. It was so different to watch her like this. I just loved her in that. I think
Okay.
she should more do more rom-coms now.
Dahlia, which actor and actress?
Kylie in Surrender to My Ex's Dad is fantastic. I mean, she really sets it apart. I mean, I love Adam, but I'm picking Jack Byram in Ruthless Mafia Daddy. He just hit the mark for me. They're both my actor and actress of the month. And I just they both just hit it for me. They're awesome.
Alina, which two For
The
you?
girl would be Vanessa von Schwartz. I
Hmm.
probably mispronounce her name. In Hollywood Heartthrob, she was actually the villain in it, but to me, she was the best performance in this vertical. She was absolutely amazing, and it really showcased more of what she can do compared to the other one that I've seen. And in this one particular, I
Which
felt like
platform is
she.
it?
It's Salty TV.
Okay.
It's the latest release there. And what is like surprising is usually the villain is the like supporting role and is just second role. But in this one, I felt like she was the lead, but the villain. Like the way she completely overshadowed the two leads because she was so good in it. So to me, it would be her. And the guy, it's general performance, but I said it before we recorded, Luca Pietro, just because I've watched four of his vertical last month. Well, he didn't release a lot, so obviously it helps. But yeah, especially the bossy vertical he was in it, like he was bossed by the girl, Emily Sweet. They did two together that I watched last month. And like, yeah, she was the boss and he was like super attached to her, and you see that him going after her. This storyline was good, and with him and Emily Sweets, it worked really well, those two together. So yeah, it would be the male performance for him for general in general for last month.
Lisa?
I couldn't narrow it down to two. I'm sorry, I have a few. So
A
Caleb
few.
Brady, just I'll be quick.
It's
Caleb
fine.
Brady in The Summer I Turned Bad, she was so great in that, and her scene when she was drunk was so convincing. Love, love, love. Erin Kuykendall in Coming of Age, she was so sweet in that role, and I loved the character arc for her. But she's just. I also watched her in Billionaire's Baby, and she was fantastic in that as well. On the same note, Luca Pietro in Coming of Age.
Yeah, Coming
Might
of
be
Age was a great
jailbaity.
one.
This sounds like a jailbaity kind of comment. He's only 21, but some of those looks he was giving the camera were so swoon-worthy that it made me feel like I was a teenage girl and watching those rom-coms
You
from
had a
when I was
crush on him or what?
And then Evan Gambardella in Straight Until He Kissed Me. He's a comedic genius, and he needs more roles like that. But also when he tapped into the drama side, like him displaying an anxiety moment, claustrophobia, and completely breaking down, brilliant. He tapped in deep for that. So yeah, kudos to Evan.
And woman.
Evan. Sorry, Erin Kuykendall and Kayla Brady.
Ah,
They
okay.
were my.
Sorry for that. Caitlin, who gets your points for September?
I do have to agree with you. Samantha Drews nailed her role. With being blind. And that's something that for me kind of hits close to home because my brother is blind. I kind of have more of a inside scoop slash feeling on that. That was really interesting and unique for me to see. And I really have to give her kudos for that. The male, I'm actually going to go with Aaron Orbers because he may not have had the most stellar verticals this month, but what I did notice was a vast improvement in his acting skill since the last group of verticals that he did, and definitely since the first one I ever saw him in, which was Surrender to My Professor. But this month he did the one on Real Short with Sarah Milinsky, who, by the way, she nailed her first ever lead role. That was absolutely wonderful. But Aaron also had a couple other ones across other apps. He had one on Drama Wave, which name I forget right now. But the one I most recently watched was The Virgin and the Professor on Shorts app. And that was another one that he was in. And again, none of the verticals themselves are overly awesome. But his performance is so much improved. He's the one I'm picking for this month.
If you have Megan? Not seen Yes Chef on Rama Pops, you should watch that. It's Aaron Obus.
Yes.
And the cinematography was top-notch on that.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that actually was the one that wowed me the most. I forgot to write it down on my little list.
Good that we are talking in a bigger round, so we can... Yes. Megan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who was your favorite actor and actress this month?
Okay, so I am totally in love with Lydia Pence. Do you guys know her? She was with, I can't remember his name. I think she's had like 3 or 4 verticals, but this month she was in Park Avenue Girls Don't Play Nice, which was kind of one of those surprise ones on Real Short that I thought was really good, because they flipped the script. She was actually lying that she was an heiress, and it was really fun to see how that played out. I just think she's a great actress. She sells her roles really well. She puts nuance in when there really isn't a lot. So she was in 2. So she was in one with Lucas Silva this month. The professor I'm dating is a billionaire. My dumb dog is like hitting at my office door, if you guys hear that. Professor I'm dating is a billionaire. He wants in. The professor I'm dating is a billionaire and Park Avenue Girls Don't Play Nice. So she was in both of those leads and she did really, really well. I just really like, I'm watching her. I'm watching you, Lydia. In a good way.
In a good way. It's good that you say in a good way.
In a good way. No, I really, really, really think she's kind of an up and coming vertical star. I think she's doing great stuff. And my guy is Felix in Dungeons of Ecstasy was amazing. And then in The Summer I Turned Bad, I mean, his character in The Summer I Turned Bad, his arc was absolutely brilliantly played. I think it was one of the best roles written in the whole month for me personally, like his complicated relationship with his dad and him kind of having to lie and redeem himself to Kayla a couple of times. I really think like he is probably for me personally, one of the best actors right now in the vertical space, like for the male lead. So yeah, those would be my 2, would be Lydia and Felix. So
here for me, the male one. Yeah, no problem. For me, the male one who really catched me this month was Ali Baladov in the in the Candy Jar one, Tame the Errors. For me, it was the best acting I saw of him ever. And I told him this. He asked me about my opinion. I said, listen, it was the first time when I saw you as a caring brother, as a not villain, psychopath guy. So a loving and caring husband and brother. And I really liked this side of his acting. And the story was like The Arrangement, but I really liked this story and it fits so well to his acting and to see a totally different side from him like we did before in other verticals. And if I could name a side role actor, it would definitely be John Henry Richardson, because he was so nice in this one with Sam Myerson and Abigail Fawn. He was so cute. And I loved him in Matrimony as the one with the dogs. And I loved him in this role. It was so... When I did the podcast episode with him, I said, you would be the grandfather I want to have, to be honest. Because it was so, so lovely and well played in both verticals. I really like this, him always as a side role, totally. And the actress, as I told, Samantha Roos, but also Haley Lolly in this one where she played the villain wife with Ben, what is his second name?
Taylor.
Ben Taylor.
So miss me when I'm go. What was the name of this vertical? Say goodbye. You know exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
When he's and she. That was the first time I saw her in a villain character, and she played it so well. I was totally shocked that she could be so villain. I didn't. No, because the all the shows I saw with Hayley, she was always the lovely, dovey, wifey, kind of devoted. And in this one, she was so dominant and so bam. And I was really shocked how willing she can be. And as I said, Samantha Drews, by playing the blind one, catch me totally. Absolutely, totally. So, yeah, I would go for this one. And last question, ladies. We are nearly at the end. So drum roll for your personal vertical of the month, please. And we can do the second part. What was your platform of the month? I was thinking. You have to decide one.
I can't do one. I actually broke it down into categories, okay?
So that's clever, Lisa. That's clever.
Okay, so my young adult vertical of the month was coming of age. My boy love vertical of the month was Straight Until He Kissed Me. That was the rom-com boy love, but the boy love drama was Wicked Game. Highly recommend that one. It's fantastic. Mm. And that one could definitely have a part two, which even platform? Though it does finish. So Wicked Game is on, good question.
My here. Drama. I
My
think.
Drama, yeah. Okay. The psychological drama, what was it? After His Affair, I Slept With His Best Friend with Tess Amelia was, I thought she was great in that one. And then I think, did I name every vertical release this month? I think so. So my best app always is Candy Jar. They just seem to elevate every single story. But I want to give kudos to Good Short for being the most progressive and releasing so many queer storylines.
Mm-mm. Absolutely. But Dali.
They're yet to release a woman loves woman vertical, and yeah, so there you go. That's my
that's course. Your so your stars.
I'm just gonna do one.
Sorry, I can never make my own.
Totally no, fine.
No, you're fine. I'm actually gonna break the rules by also naming a director.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm going to say Ruthless Mafia Daddy is my vertical of the month, but I'm gonna name Kristen Brancaccio as the director for Surrender to my ex's dad. If I had to pick two verticals, that would be the second vertical. I really had a tough time picking between the two because
can you say which platforms?
The Ruthless Mafia Daddy is from Real Short, and Surrender to My Ex's Dad is Shorts. The Heart Lollipop.
Yeah.
Fumero Films also. Kristen Brancaccio is fantastic. She's amazing, and she was great to talk to. I mean, she's fantastic. And my app of the month is always Candy Jar. They just bring it.
Aline, yours?
I'm gonna go with three because I couldn't pick all the three.
It's okay.
Love and Blood first, The Summer I Turned Bad second, and Coming of Age would be the third one. Those three were really the one I really loved this month for all the reason we already mentioned, because we talked about those three. So yeah, and the app of this month is difficult because I watched from so many different ones. But I like to highlight maybe Drama Pops just for the way they produce stuff is like so much better than what we can see most of the time. And Shorts is also doing really good. Like those two are smaller apps, but doing really great quality. So whenever I can, I will watch them. And I know that Shorts released a new one with Kira. I have to watch it. I haven't yet. But I know that when they release some stuff, I can go to watch right away and I will never be disappointed. So Drama Pops and Shorts, both okay. of those apps.
Okay. Sika, what's yours?
So I'll also divide in two categories. One was Love and Blood. Okay, that was like the app of the, I'll say, for the year, on par with Red Talents for me. So quite different in production value, but still had the same impact on me personally. But other than that, I needed some feel-good verticals this month because of all the chaos. So I had two for that. Was pregnant after one night on iDrama with Sam Myerson and Abigail and John Henry Richardson. Yeah. The entire thing was a feel-good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Each episode, it was never that I got palpitations, what is going to happen next, or, oh my God, I can't watch that. I'm not skipping anything. And the other one was Single Mom by Mistake and CEO's Wife by Faith with Ryan Vincent and Shanna Shia on Dreamy. So that one was a comedic genius. All the actors brought it, their comic timing, their comic chemistry, their, you know, how they feed off each other while doing the lines. Everything was so fun to watch. It was the same story that, okay, the child is hers, but they added that layer of she doesn't know that the child is hers and she has adopted him as her own, and later on she comes to know it's her own child and she loves him nevertheless. So that was such a fun one to watch, and I know Dreamy has that whole D-Pass and early access stuff, but I still love the app. So it is the app of the month for me, and I would like to mention NetShot too. They're bringing out some good stuff.
Okay. Caitlin, what was yours?
Yeah. I hate to be non-original, but yeah, Love and Blood, I think it takes the top honors for me this month. I feel like it really was one that's pushing the vertical space so far in the right direction. And it was so beautifully done and felt so cinematic for me and not like... not a vertical. It felt like it definitely could have been a Zani. but as for apps, I too found myself bouncing around a lot. But for some reason, I found myself on NetShort quite a bit this month. So I guess I'll have to go with them. I don't, you know, like I said, it's I'm going with where I found myself, not necessarily what I think which app is doing the best to elevate the space. So I think that'd be a different app for that.
Megan?
I mean, Love and Blood was amazing, and so we're just gonna say that one was amazing for, well, not for everyone, but you know, but I'm gonna go with kind of a out of left field, we haven't even talked about it yet, but From Hidden Land to the CEO's Heart. I know it was a redo of one they made in England, but it was with Gabe and a new face. I can't remember her name, but just so funny. I love
which platform was it?
Alisa Ayer
or Drama Wave. What was her name, Aileen?
Alisa Ayer.
Yeah, Alisa.
Was it that one where she came from the bush? Was it that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So funny, you guys. Yeah, I love comedy though. I need to laugh. And they did it so well, and I laughed so hard, and it is very rare for me to actually like have a really good, genuine like laugh at a vertical.
Which one was it, Meg?
From Hidden Land to CEO's Heart. It has Gabe and Alisa. And I thought it was so funny. I it really just like kind of took me by surprise. I felt like it was really funny. It was good.
Yeah,
like
it was. Whole, it was when she has when she has the smartphone in his hand. Oh, what is that? Yeah. So totally.
Her whole I just need you to create an error and I'm off. You're tall enough. You're like kind of sussing out his stature, like make sure he's like a good one to produce like an error, and then she's gonna go back her. Like it was really funny, and then kind of they're like how much he from the beginning was just like enamored by how crazy she was, which resonates with me. I need people to love crazy people because that's what so like it's just anyway. So that's mine, kind of out of left field. Like no one's talked about it yet, but I think that was my definitely like watch again favorite. Yeah.
And which app did you think?
It's on. Drama
no,
Wave.
No, which app was your...
That's a really tough one for me. I don't keep track of apps. I'm not like everyone else who like has these spreadsheets and stuff. I mean, I will always sing praises to the app shorts and to Drama Pops, just like Aileen. But yeah, like I think Net Short and Playlit this time, or Net Short especially, I found myself kind of like gravitating towards that app this month for the content. There was a lot that came out that came out on with Net Short this month. So yeah. I don't know if it was my favorite, but
no, we are not talking about all-time favorite platform. We're talking about which platform did a great job this month.
I'm getting sick of Candy Jar's Young Love streak, you guys. This is just a random tangent, but I mean, how many more Keelys can they make? Like we're on like this.
As long as Joseph Purcell is in them, all of them.
That's not my. This is not for me. Come on, Doc, get down.
I'll take the dad. I'll take him. All of them.
Dahlia is happy.
But yeah, so
don't
I am kind of
Pietro in there. I'm good.
I am kind of looking forward to. I'm going to put a plug for one of my guys, Gio. He has a new one coming out in Candy Short. That is not a Young Love one, so we can look forward to that this month.
And every once in a while, we get a Gio.
Every once in a while, we get a Gio, which we love Gio. So
if they can do another Chasing Kiara, I'd be a very happy woman.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Yeah, more werewolf from Candy Jar. That would be amazing.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely.
We can have a Steven Miranda on Candy Jar.
We do have Steven Miranda on Candy Jar.
See, Candy Jar is the best.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, my vertical of the month is totally Taming the Eras, because I like, although it's kind of similar to the arrangement, but I like this kind of story. There were no typical banquet scene, no stepmom, no stepsister, no 5 tons of slapping. It was a great vertical with all the shitty stuff. Totally. And as I said, Ali Baldarov hit this one for me also as a great actor part of it. And I really was entertained by this one. It's not a comedy one or stuff like that, but it was so comfortable to watch without all this shitty raping, kidnapping, whatever stuff we are all so bored of. And also I like this coming for age with the look on also on that Candy Jar for I for me the app of the month is definitely Candy Jar, because everything they release is really well produced in sound, in cuts of the in direction parts. I really like the verticals there, because there are no shitty voiceovers, there are no shitty noisy sounds between. So for me, it's really entertaining to watch there, and we will see. They are picked up a little bit the speed of publishing things when I started to watch on Candy Jar. They dropped, I think, round about 4 shows per month or 5 only, and now they are releasing a bit more, but not too much, because on Real Short, for example, they are releasing 5-6 shows per week now, or how many, and the quality is less than it was earlier because of this much producing. So I'm kind of excited in which way it will be this month. So last question, what are your wishes for October in the vertical series world? What do you want to see? What you're hoping for? What spooky show you are excited about?
I want some spooky stuff, like, you know, like it's Halloween month, so
yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
some witchy cutie stuff would be nice, like a humoristic comedy witch stuff would be good for this month.
Oh yeah, that would be really nice. A witch, what did you call it? A witchy comedy stuff? What?
Yeah, witchy spooky comedy. I don't know.
A witchy spooky
the technical
comedy
term.
Stuff.
Sleep With Me, Mortal was actually exactly what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to watch this one. But yeah, this kind of stuff, I think, especially for the season, would be really good. That kind of
Maria
stuff.
Maria Versigian is in that.
So the others, what are you hoping, looking for in October in the verticals?
I am hoping that someone makes a crime psychology thriller, maybe a police procedural or something, because nobody is doing that. Nobody has tapped into that genre at all.
Yeah, clinical cases.
No, I highly recommend watching My Serial Killer Lover, because that's a nice psychological thriller if you want a great one to watch. I think in this moment right now, it would be tied with Love and Blood for my vertical of the year, because I loved it that much. When we were asked to do the nominations for Verticon, that's actually the one I chose for vertical of the year, was My Serial Killer Lover, because it is so much like Criminal Minds, you know.
That is exactly what I'm looking for.
And Andrea Prunilla and Adam Sandra Cruz rocked this vertical totally. Totally.
And let's not forget,
Sorry for that. It was a little bit uncommon that he only has the side role in it. So, sorry.
He's really good in that one too. Sorry, it just happened.
He's always good as a police officer. Hello, the one on Tallflix as the police. Yeah, exactly. The one on Tallflix with him as the police officer was also really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I got this at the
uniform suit him perfectly.
Yeah.
I'm also wanting to give a shout out to Gabriel Faith Brown and Shane Davis, because I want to see more of them. They're very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the others, Lisa, what are you hoping for?
Obviously for some of Kamen's new ones to be released. So I've got lots more behind the scenes photos to work with. love my behind the scenes photos. He's been doing a lot lately. To be honest, I just want to watch a vertical that I'm not going to fall asleep in. One that's going to keep me entertained for the full 60 episodes. I don't care the genre. I don't care the actor.
We will talk about that in a month. How often did you fall asleep this month? Okay, 4 times.
Well, this month it was 3 or 4 times. And I literally fell asleep during one today. So
we should make a hit rate, you know. How many sleeps?
Just give me good acting and what I would like to see, putting it out there, apps have a sale.
Subscriptions. Halloween sale or something like that.
Friday sale maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Aline, what do you want to see more or hoping for? Aline?
I already said the spooky stuff. Sorry. Yeah, which is spooky stuff.
Who I forgot? Megan, did you say what you want to see?
I always want more comedy. Like, I just do. I'll just keep asking for more comedy. I don't feel like we've quite hit it yet. There's a few. I don't feel like we've actually made and no one faint right now a real rom-com yet.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think we've truly. I mean, people say it's a rom-com, but it ain't no rom-com. That's not a rom-com. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, I'm going to keep asking for more comedy, because that's just what I gravitate towards.
It's because of the season now. It's getting earlier dark and so on. So more comedy is definitely needed. And I am looking forward. Yeah.
Start daylight savings in about 2 hours. So
yeah, it's fine.
In an hour 20, I'll be losing an hour. So. And then, because we're heading into summer, I'm looking forward to it.
we do that in 2 weeks, also, and then it's
jump forward or jump back.
Jump forward, then it's at 5 p.m. Totally dark here.
Yeah, here too, Minnesota. It's bad in Minnesota. It's like dark by like 4 p.m.
Yeah, exactly. So then it's dark when you came back from work. It's dark when you go to work. Mm-hmm. So it's always dark.
Get your
you're changing to the dark side. You know, to the dark side.
We're all north. Yes,
that's because you're all north. I still have a couple more hours of sunlight.
Dahlia, our Florida girl.
The Florida girl. No, I'm very excited about Noah Fonley took a long break and he's coming back to shoot some new shows. So I'm very excited about if he decides in his break to maybe do some new stuff. I really want to love to see him in a vampire one. I don't know why, but I'm so, he did so much billionaire CEO kind of stuff, and I would love to see him in a totally different role. I'm waiting for that.
Wasn't he going to Turkey for the first time?
Yeah, he's going to Turkey.
I
think he talked about this in his life.
He started filming one last Sunday, and then he was going to Turkey. So that's two.
Yeah. So Turkey, maybe drama pops again.
Yeah.
So the drama TV
here was shorts. So shorts and drama pops.
Yeah, so the hopes are high.
have you guys been seeing, like, there's Mark Herman and Mark Vega.
Yeah.
And Jared Leto.
Jared Straub is also in it.
They're all in, like, one. And,
yeah, Jared Straub is also in it, isn't it?
Yes.
And they're shooting guns? Like, they're, like, filming? Yeah. Like, what is that? I'm interested.
I think maybe a military one.
Yeah, probably. And then there's the... I called it when I was in LA, I was teasing with Christiane, who's, it's like the capes and the abs and the mask.
Dead Sexy, right? Dead Sexy.
Yeah,
drama,
Dead Sexy.
Like that.
That's coming up too. And I'm like, what is that one? I just called it Capes and Masks and Abs, because like all the behind the scenes were just them like walking around.
Both are produced by Halogen, I think. Is it not?
Did anyone else get an email about watching the Elon Musk biopic? Vertical?
Yeah, I got it.
I saw the call for that one come out a couple of months ago, and I'm like, oh, I hope none of my favorite actors are in this because it sounds bad. And then I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to watch the first 2 minutes just to see who the actor is they've picked, and it's no one I've ever seen before in my life.
Okay.
But then they flash to real footage of Elon Musk and Donald Trump, and I'm like, this is a lawsuit waiting to happen. So it's on my not watch list.
Michael Vaccaro advises me there will be dropped a new show on Tallflix called Game of Choice. So I'm very excited about that, because Michael Vaccaro did a lot of shows and stuff and is along in this area. And he told me that for him, he has the feeling that's the best vertical he ever did in his life. Mm-hmm. So
Game of Choice sounds really good. Like there's Felix in it. There's so many great people in it. And they put like a lot of stories when they were filming it. So I never watched anything on Tallflix, but that might be the first one I will watch on this, because just the teasing they did about it sounds really good. It sounds different, and
and
I will
it should be released now in October. So maybe we can talk about that in our next lead.
Is that the one with Kelsey too?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're wearing like the orange jumpsuits. That one looked really interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
I think also Molly was in it, wasn't it? Molly also?
I think she was on set like for one day, and maybe she was just
a day role or something like that.
Yeah.
Like Dungeons of Ecstasy.
No, because all the BTS was really great for this Game of Choice stuff. Yep. And Michael Vaccaro advised me to personally. So I'm very excited about this. And I hope that this will be a new story and a new... The cast sounds great. But as we all know, a good cast can make not a shitty good story good. So let's pray that this story is also good. And we can talk about that in our next monthly recap. I thank you very much, ladies, for September, so we can make a check on September and keep on watching. So have a nice day, and thank you very much for this September recap. Bye.
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 This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.